From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our Gospel broadcast. It's good to have you join with us today, and I hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next 15 minutes as the Reverend Raymond McLernan lets the Bible speak.
We're so glad you can join us again today, and we bid you warmly welcome. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." It's interesting to note that the New International Version of the Bible has deleted much of that 16th verse, for it reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Full stop. The translators have removed the name of Christ from the verse. They have taken Christ out of the gospel. And this is only one instance amongst hundreds of like errors that are to be found in the NIV, which means that it becomes a perversion of the Word of God. Never mind all the talk about it being easier to understand. This is a deliberate attempt to distort the truth of God's Word and nothing else. And the Bible says in Revelation 22:19 that if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So those who tamper with God's word are treading on very dangerous ground. It's not the Bible we need to change, rather is it the heart of man. Which brings us back to our text. We want to take a moment or two with this phrase in verse 17, "The just shall live by faith." The definition of faith, first of all, obviously, faith is fundamental to the Christian creed. But what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's simple enough for a child to understand, yet too often adults stumble over it. Faith is simply a matter of resting on the best evidence, the infallible Word of God. Hebrews 11:6 reads, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And you can't be saved without faith. There can be no dealings with God without faith in his existence. That's fairly obvious. But likewise, a man cannot be saved unless he is prepared to accept that the Bible is God's word, and that God's word is truth. All of it. Faith is essential to salvation. But faith in whom or what? People talk about having their own faith, but when we investigate their claim to faith, we all too often discover that they are depending for eternity upon faith in themselves. But Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now notice what that verse says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." It doesn't say "believe in Christ." Now, if you're under the weather, and the doctor prescribes a particular bottle of medicine, you may have great faith in that product. You may be absolutely certain in your own mind that it will make you feel better. But it'll never do you any good until you act on that faith. You have to believe on it. You have to partake of the medicine before you can expect any improvement in your condition. That's faith, acting on what you believe. And where sickness of soul is concerned, you need to exercise the same kind of faith in Christ as you do in the bottle of medicine. You may know about Christ and his willingness to save, but until such times as you put your faith into practice, you'll never be saved. The faith that leads to salvation is not the faith that believes in the existence of Christ. Rather, saving faith is that which accepts him as Savior. It's the sinner recognizing that what Christ has done by dying on the cross to secure salvation is enough to save your soul. You must accept his finished work as having been done on your behalf. He died, the just for the unjust. Recognize that it was your sins that nailed him to the cross. Then accept that because he has paid for your sins, you can go free. That's the faith that saves. That's salvation. Secondly, there's the deliverance of faith. The just shall live by faith. Who are the just? The just is that man, that woman, that young person who acknowledges his or her own sin, but recognizes that Christ has paid the debt of sin for them, and that by faith they receive from him the gift of everlasting life. In so doing, every last sin is blotted out because by faith that person has laid his sin on Christ. The just, then, is the person who has been delivered from the condemnation that is his due because of sin. When a man's conscience is aroused to see the fearful penalty incurred by his transgressions against God, he may try different methods of self-righteousness to settle his conscience, but he finds no rest until the truth grips his heart that the just shall live by faith. Beloved, if you should happen to be depending today on some activity that you engage in to try and fit yourself for heaven, then we beg you, waken up to this truth. Salvation is not in your good living. The just shall live by faith. All the devotional exercises that you could engage in, whether public or private, even with the so-called sacraments thrown in, can never save your soul. Religious exercises in themselves can never bring about the change that's needed in the heart of the sinner. Remember, the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again. You need a new heart. You need to be changed from the inside, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can make that change." The Bible teaches that he that believeth on Jesus is declared righteous before God as if he had never sinned. And you can't get that by just keeping the law. Faith in Christ delivers the penitent from all fear and dread of the grave, for the simple reason that it accepts that Christ has borne all the wrath of God for the sinner, and he is now free to enjoy the Lord. That's the deliverance of faith. Lastly, there's the delights of faith. When it says that the just shall live by faith, the word faith there actually means steadfastness, faithfulness, and the word live means to have life. Just as the sun disperses the morning mist, so faith clears away any misunderstanding and scatters the fog of error. When a man is saved, he then is enabled to live a life of faithfulness to Christ. That's what this text is driving at. How often we hear someone say, "Oh, if I was to get saved, I couldn't keep it." Such people are right, of course. There's not a man on earth can keep God's salvation. That's why God does the keeping. The important thing to remember is that your faith does not depend on you. It's not your faith or the lack of it that matters. It's where your faith is placed. It's faith in Christ that counts. The onus is on him to save and to keep you. Peter said, "We are kept by the power of God." The principle on which faith works is that you get on with your life, believing that all is well. The just shall have life by faith. That's what it really means. This life of faith is not a garment that you put on Sundays. This is everyday wear for the farmyard, for the marketplace, for the office, or wherever you happen to be. And whether your faith is weak or strong isn't the issue. The bird that sits on the bottom branch can sing just as sweetly as the one at the top of the tree. They both live by faith. Beloved, will you not come then and put your faith in Christ? Will you not let him save you and trust him to keep you? You'll need him when you come to the end of this life, but you don't know when that end will come. Why not then invite Christ to be your Savior now and let him give you life? The just shall live by faith, because that faith is in him who never dies. Oh, may God help you to trust him today. Put your faith in Christ and pass from death unto life.
Overwhelmed by his mercy, amazed by his grace, I am cleansed from all sin, every sign, every trace. Jesus left heaven's portals himself to abase. I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh what tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace.
I will rest in his keeping each night and each day, for I know that he's leading each step of the way. Though the valleys of sadness at times I must face, still he comforts all heartaches with his all-sufficient grace.
God's everlasting mercy, oh what tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace. Oh, what love God bestows upon all who believe. He will free you from guilt when his Son you receive. He has promised to keep you, prepare you a place, if you'll take of his mercy and his all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh what tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.